We have all at one time or another felt a sense of urgency about what's going on. You know, you get one of those bills that you know that if you don't pay it on time, you're going to get hit with some steep late fees, and the interest rate on it is really going to go up, and it's going to get really, really expensive. And that bill will create a sense of urgency. Say, for instance, you're going to a movie that you've been looking forward to going and seeing, and you just happen to buy yourself this just really gigantic soda. And within that, you know, it's a really good movie. And it's a really long movie. Creates a sense of urgency. Yeah, you're going to graduate from college, and you know that then the clock starts ticking. Then till you have to begin repaying those student loans. Creates a sense of urgency. You're on your way home from work, and you suddenly realize, it's my spouse's birthday. Creates a sense of urgency. Paul addresses for us here in Romans chapter 13, verses 11 and 12, that the return of Christ should create for us a sense of urgency. Please join with me in your Bibles, Romans chapter 13, beginning at verse 11. We will see the reason for alertness. And do this, understanding the present time. The hour has come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. As you wake up, it's like an alarm going off. When you hear an alarm going off, unless you happen to work a whole opposite shift from the rest of us, which some of you may, that the alarm goes off, you know it's morning. It's time to get up. It's not time to be asleep anymore. Well, we've got this whole idea here that Paul is telling us, just like that alarm going off, is this call from God saying, get up and get busy for Christ. As within this, he's talking about how that he's wanting us, he's appealing to us that the truth of Christ coming back, that we would be able to be motivated by such things. Now, the church has known for nearly 2,000 years now that the next big thing in the plan of God is the return of Christ. Ever since the Holy Spirit came down in Pentecost, the next big thing in the plan for the church is Christ returns. No one knows when that is. There have been a few presumptuous people that have tried to figure it out, but they haven't. We don't know, and it's probably a good thing we don't know, but one thing we do know. It is in the Word of God. It is the promise of God. It is going to happen. So we know if this is the next big thing that is going to happen, we should live like we're ready for that next big thing when it comes. And it's one of those that we certainly wouldn't want to embarrass ourselves by living like, well, it hasn't happened for 2,000 years. It's probably not going to happen in my lifetime. Boy, wouldn't we hate to be caught with that kind of mindset. So regardless of when Jesus is going to return, we know we are 2,000 years closer to it than when Paul wrote these words. And he wants us to live like we're getting prepared. Why? Because when he comes, we will have the ultimate experience of our salvation. Sure, we have been justified. Yes, we're struggling through this whole sanctification process as we're trying to live out our faith now. But then we will experience glorification, the absolute pinnacle of our faith. Just sharing with you from Hebrews 9, verse 28. Hold on, I can never see those little numbers. They're in there somewhere. So Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many people, and he will appear a second time, not to bear sin, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for him. Secondly, we need to resist the allure in verse 12. The night is nearly over, the day is almost here, so let us put aside the deeds of darkness. The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. It's almost dawn, which, of course, this dawn is referring to that time when Christ will return. I remember Christmas as a child and receiving that toy or game that I really wanted. And I would stay up late playing with it. Yeah, probably too late. But it didn't matter because I was still up really early to continue doing what I was doing the night before. As I got a little older, I still like to play with the new game, the new toy, until late at night. But I wasn't quite as motivated to have to get up early to play with it some more. I was a little more lax in resting and taking my time on when I was going to get back to it. And this is a little bit like the picture that Paul is painting for us here, that we're content to be within this slumber, not paying attention to the fact of, hey, day's almost here, and when day is here, whoa, that's our call to being alert, that we should get up before then so we're all ready to go when the time comes. As Paul is painting this picture for us, I think it's very easy to see that as he's comparing darkness and light, every time we see that in Scripture, it is always with a great theological significance. Darkness is always in reference to those things that are not about God. Light is always that which is about God. And it's so interesting because the problem that the human being has is that we are always looking for that space in between the darkness and the light, so that we can be involved with doing those things that really aren't about God, but they aren't evil either. We're looking for that space to enjoy between the darkness and the light. And this is why the Bible is telling us over and over again, there's darkness and there's light, and there is absolutely no space in between those two. If it is darkness, then it is not according to God. If it is light, it is according to God. Therefore, we should be doing what Paul is telling us here. We need to put off those things of the darkness. Because what is the darkness wanting us to do? It's a lure. What it's trying to draw us into is, let me distract you from those things that are of the darkness so that you don't bring in the light. Because as soon as you bring in the light, then all of us are going to be ashamed and embarrassed, as the light shows everything for what it is. And so there's this, wow, line that we hit. And so we know that the allure of our culture is to stay up late with the distractions that are keeping us from experiencing Christ. Now, the one thing that's so key is that this darkness and the one who's in power of that darkness is extraordinarily subtle. We can't, by just a casual glance, know as to whether or not this is from the darkness or not. It's so subtle. But how do we know? We aren't experiencing the power we've been promised in the light. You know, if our lives are exploding with the power of Christ on a moment-by-moment basis, we probably can't even stay in our seat. You know, we're going to be kind of hoisted up. And all of us don't seem to have any trouble sitting down. We know there's always room for improvement. And we should have in our hearts just this desire. It's like, Lord, I want to experience you. Forget all of that dark stuff. I want to experience you. And that should be enough motivation in and of itself to want to put off. And so it's interesting there that within this, Paul is trying to tell us, you know, hey, I'm trying to make it clear. There's no space between the darkness and the light. The darkness, those things that are not of God. The light, those things that are. And there's no space in between. Some additional proof is found. Hebrews 11:6. Without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Over in Romans 14:23. Everything that does not come from faith is sin. James 4:17. Anyone who knows the good he ought to do and doesn't do it sins. So imagine that we find ourselves that we're doing something and we aren't sure if this is of the light or not. As we will find ourselves there. The only way we won't find ourselves there is we're not living. But by living, we're going to find ourselves, is this or is this not? And if we do find ourselves within this question, well, is something I ought to do or something I ought to not do, we should probably stop and evaluate it and pray about it. Because God in his grace has not given us a great big list of the things of darkness. Yes, we've got lists, and we can find them, and we can pull them all out. And the same thing with the things that you ought to be doing. But right here, as Paul is delivering it to us, he's saying, I'm not talking about any lists here. Because there's things that we can do that we don't know what kind of moral or spiritual value there is in them. But yet, according to faith, we should do all things, which means we can do the exact same activity. And depending on how we are engaged in that activity is going to determine whether it is dark, part of darkness, or part of the light. And so we need to stop, we need to evaluate, and we need to be willing to put our lives to the test, that we do not become calloused in not seeking our experience with Christ. First and foremost, above all else, we don't let the allure of our culture drag us or convince us that these things don't really matter. Number three, we need to reveal the attraction. The night is nearly over, the day is almost here, so let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. We see putting on the armor of light. This is basically, you know, getting dressed. Now, within this image here, we know that Paul is addressing believers and that they have received from him his life because they have received him as their Lord and Savior. They have received his eternal life. They have received the forgiveness of sins that he is offering. They have received the untold spiritual riches that he has placed to our account. Now, within that, then, these that he's addressing that are to get dressed up in the light are the very ones who have the privilege and the responsibility of these tremendous spiritual resources that are caught up in this package of salvation that he has given. We are to live with spiritual power. We are to live separated from evil. We are to live with this unmistakable expression of his love. We are to dress up in the light. We are to speak as if we are in the light. We are to act like we are in the light. We are to live in the light. So here we can see that Paul has just finished telling us, hey, throw off those deeds of darkness and instead put on the light. The neat thing about God is that he never tells us to not do something without also giving us what we should do. He doesn't tell us to stop doing something that we'll suddenly feel this void in our life. But instead, no, he tells us, stop doing that. And before we would begin to wonder whether or not there's going to be a hole there in our life, he fills it with himself and the life that we can enjoy with him. God has promised us not to give us a full, not only a full life, but a fulfilled life. And that's just a neat thing about the way God works with us. Okay, so now we've got here that by putting this on, you know, this is kind of a show-stopping kind of dressing up, if you will, that we're putting on this rather glorious armor of light. We have been given the responsibility then that we put on display, that we exhibit our salvation. And primarily for others that do not know of our salvation. They have not received it. And with this, Christ would be found to be attractive to them. They would be drawn unto him. Okay, so for us to do less than getting dressed up in the light, to live in that light, would somehow or another be not... It would show a callousness that we really don't care about what we do. Either we don't understand the call we've received to live in the light, those resources, those vast spiritual riches, he's enabled us to live a life with him, or we simply are calloused and don't care, living like we don't even belong in the light. Paul desires that each and every one of us would walk in the light. From other places we can find Ephesians 5:8. For we were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light. 1 Thessalonians 5:5-6. You are all sons of the light and sons of the day. We do not belong to the night or to the darkness. So then, let us not be like others who are asleep, but let us be alert and self-controlled. 1 John 1:7. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, purifies us from all sin. 1 John 2:10-11. Whoever loves his brother lives in the light, and there is nothing in him to make him stumble. But whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks around in the darkness. He does not know where he is going because the darkness has blinded him. We are to have an impact living in the light. And it's not only so that we reveal the one we represent, but it is to have a direct impact on others. If we are truly loving them as God has loved us, it's going to have its impact. People will be encouraged and they will be strengthened. We also know that it'll have an impact on others being drawn to Christ because they are seeing the glory that he brings. So we have a call to live in the light. You know, we've all heard the expression, look busy, the boss is coming. And we can laugh about it. But in reality, this really applies to the Christian life. For we should live with a sense of urgency. God wants us to use what he has built into us to put himself on display. He's dressed us up in his light, that people will see him through us putting him on display. That is what is such a significant call. You know, other places in Scripture where Jesus is saying very much, well, what are we looking for in the end times? When he's describing what it's going to look like right before the end, there is a great increase in darkness, in evil, in sin in the world. There is right now a whole lot more darkness and evil and sin in the world than there was 50 years ago, 100 years ago. Man is finding new, spectacular, enormous ways to bring evil into the world. Kind of makes the song sound almost true. The darkest hour is just before dawn. Theologically, that is absolutely true. That is what the Lord has promised. So then, we should work hard to put the light on display now, for we are running out of time. With the time that we have left, let us live with a sense of urgency. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the way that you have devised it to come and jump into our life. Lord, may we be drawn with a sense of urgency that our relationship with you, our willingness to put you on display, to make an impact within our church family and to impact the kingdom of Christ as you have designed, Lord, puts us in such an incredible place of experience that, Lord, let us, with willing hearts, be the ones to see your tremendous power displayed through us. In Christ's name, amen. If I was to tell you that in that day when Christ returns, we all get it, even the ones that were napping, that's not what we're being called to. We're called to put him on display now while it is darkness. It is now that he is wanting those that will surrender to him, that will expose themselves to the risk of social embarrassment, or depending on the part of the world you live in, death, to be such a vessel. to have the power of Christ displayed in unspeakable ways in life, in a power that is shaking the spiritual kingdoms. So before we wake up and know that it's going to be easy, Jesus is asking us to do it now when it's a little hard. I trust that you are sensitive to the Spirit and that you will truly desire to live with a sense of urgency. Let us stand. If anybody has something going on, that there is a spiritual issue in their life that they just need to talk to me right now, just come on up here and let's do it. Whether you've been with us for a while, want to become a member of the church, that's great. If you haven't ever been baptized, you want to be baptized to know that you're identifying your life with Jesus Christ, perhaps you've never trusted in Jesus as your own, we'll just ask you to come. Share with you from the Word of God how you can know for sure that you are His child. If there is no one to come, Joe, I would ask you to come. Elders, if you would, and as part of our benediction today, we're going to be praying for Joe with what he's facing this week. And Lord, we just thank you that we can come. So if everybody will just kind of put a paw print on him there. Lord, we come before you right now thanking you for the time we've had to worship you. We thank you that we can lift up our hands in praise. We can open our hearts and our minds to your word. But Lord, we know we have one here that has been through part of a difficult journey. We don't know what the rest of that journey is going to look like, but we do know. You know. And Lord, we can trust you for every step of the way. We know despite whether it is a smooth path or a rough one, we can rise up and praise your name in this sanctuary because you are our God and you walk with us through every step. It is our desire, Lord, that you would give this man many years to share his faith, his trust, his dependence on you, that it will impact many to know he's been through some things and God has painted a great big smile on his family's, his church's face. Lord, we know we all are in your hand. We have not been promised tomorrow, but we have been promised your presence. And so, Lord, that is the greatest gift that we could ever receive. Because of that gift, we ask you to have your hand upon this man, that those things that they are expecting to happen, make them not happen. That we can praise your name because your power is on display through your people. Lord, dismiss us this day in your grace, in your love, with your power, that we will not go home wondering what we're going to be doing with our routine this week, but every moment of every day, first and foremost, is, am I living in the light or not? The most important thing in my life is now my relationship with Jesus. Dismiss us in the blessing of your grace, your power, your truth, that we will impact other lives. In Christ's name, amen. Thank you.